The singers are tired. The church as we know it is losing its fire. And some are discouraged from bearing the load. But we must determine to keep pressing on.
Amen.
Cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it will be worth every struggle. It will be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues one more soul. So preachers, keep preaching, and singers, go sing. And laymen, keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne. They'll start rejoicing for just one more soul.
Amen.
Cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it will be worth every struggle. It will be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all. If it rescues just one more soul. Cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it will be worth every struggle. It will be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it.
Just one more soul. Amen. All right. Take your Bible this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I want to preach a message this morning titled, Just One More Soul. In Luke chapter 15, I like that song, Just One More Soul. It'll be worth it all, just one more soul. In Luke chapter 15, verse 1, says this, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Jesus Christ was a friend of publican sinners. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Ira Sankey had that famous song that he used to sing at Moody's on the 99. And when he had found it, he laughed on his shoulders rejoicing. Over how many? One. Just one. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons that which need no repentance. You say, how many is the Lord talking about? One. Just one more soul. Verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Just one more. I think of my brother Marvin Glass, the great soul winner. I'll give you a little bit about him this morning too. And he wrote that little book there called One More Soul, Brother Marvin Glass. 88 years old when he wrote this, dementia. One of the greatest soul winners that I've ever seen. But Brother Marvin knew it was just one more soul. One more soul. And really, that's the only way you can win them is one more at a time. That's the only way you can do it. And that song calls, if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle. It would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. And the old time preachers, they knew this. They knew this. They were looking for that one more soul. General William Booth, that started the Salvation Army, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, he said this, if I thought I could win one more soul, if I thought I could win one more soul to the Lord by walking on my head and playing the tambourine with my toes, I'd learn how. He said, if I could just get one more soul doing that, I'd do it. John Wesley said, talking about street preaching, it is no marvel that the devil does not love field preaching, neither do I. I love a commodious room, a soft cushion, a handsome pulpit. But where is my zeal if I do not trample all these underfoot in order to save one more soul? And you know, sometimes we lose the sight, we lose the mission, we lose the message of the Bible. And it's real simple from Luke chapter 15. The Lord gave that illustration. And He said, in heaven they're rejoicing over just one soul that come to repentance. How many, preacher? Just one. And I want to preach on one more soul this morning to give you a few things. I want to say, first of all, there's the value of one single soul. The value of one single soul. We lose the sight of the value of one single soul. And it's easy to do. The world is so large. There's so many crowds. There's so many people in the world. Well, I go out to Clay sometimes and stand there at the crossroad Friday afternoon, and I hold up gospel signs and preach to them. And it seems like when I'm standing there, half the world's coming through there. There's so many cars, Mr. Wright. It's unbelievable. I mean, cars are back up this way, cars are this way. And I'm thinking as I stand there, how in the world can all these people live in this area? And sometimes when we look at that, you know what happened? We lose the value of that one single soul. When I'm standing there on the corner, I love Clay because I'm so close to the road. And I'm standing there close to the road, and I can see those cars come by, and I can look at those cars, and I can look at those cars, and I can see sitting in those cars is a single soul sitting there. And I want to say this morning, sometimes you and I, you know what? We lose the value of one single soul. And brother, it's easy to do. It's easy to do. Take your Bible, turn it over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We get just kind of lost in the crowd, lost in the world, and lost with the flow of things. And there's so many people, there's 7 billion people in the earth. And sometimes you and I, we just get kind of caught up in that and we lose the value of one single soul. Matthew chapter 10, here's the Lord talking. Matthew 10, verse 28, chapter 10, 28, and He says this, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Talking about God. But are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He says this, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? That's about a half a cent. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. You know what God said? Hey, I know that one sparrow, that one little sparrow that falls. I know all about it. I know the numbers of your head. He said, hey, you're much more valuable than that by yourself. And let me tell you, friend, too many times we lose the value of one single soul. Jesus says one time, he said, what shall it profit you if you gain the whole world, and lose your own soul? Jesus Christ never lost the value of that single soul. You know one reason I know the soul is so valuable, that one single soul? Because what Jesus Christ went through, the Son of God, Miss Rachel, came down this earth, left heaven, and came down this earth, and died on a rugged cross, and shed His blood to keep me and you out of hell. And listen, if you'd have been the only person on this earth, I believe He would have done it. I believe that's how valuable that soul is, that Jesus Christ left heaven to come down here and die on a cross for it. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:18, I love this. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And it goes on, the next verse says this, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. I mean, before the foundation of the world, He is foreordained to die on the cross. And that's how valuable your soul is, my friend. That one single soul, Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, knew what He was going to do and shed His blood. Revelation 13 said about the Lamb that was slain for the foundation of the world, that more than anything testifies the value of a single soul, my friend. Take your Bible, flip over to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. There's a value. The value of one single soul. You say, preacher, it's just one more soul. Listen, there's the value of one single soul. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 13. I preached about this years ago. On the pearl of great price. Matthew 13:45 says this, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And I preached about that. That merchant man is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, He left heaven and He went seeking goodly pearls. The Bible said the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. In that parable there, Jesus Christ is the merchant man. And the Bible said He left and He sold all that He had for that one pearl of great price, the Bible said. And I want to tell you that one pearl of great price He's talking about there, it's not the church, it's the sinner. Just that one sinner, Miss Rachel. He would have left heaven to come down here for Miss Rachel. He would have come down as well for Brother Chris. That one pearl, that one pearl of great price. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, where you're bought. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. I want to say there's the value of one single soul. I love that song Brother Chris sings. I believe if I had been the only one, still the Father would have sent His only Son. I believe He came to set the whole world free, but oh, most of all, I believe He died for me. Woo! I want to say there's the value of one single soul. That one single soul, it might not look a lot sometimes till it's your soul, does it? May not look a lot alike till it's your son or your daughter or your granddaughter, does it? May not look a lot alike, brother, till it hits home sometimes. That one single soul is somebody's son. It's somebody's daughter. It's somebody's mother. It's somebody's father. It's somebody's grandkids. That one single soul that we might be able to reach. I remember a couple of years ago we were at Walmart passing out tracts at Christmas. And there was a precious, precious, precious Christian lady, man and woman there. They were up in their 80s. They were the sweetest thing, Miss Martha. And they were saved and they loved the Lord, Brother Al. And they went for years and years. Their family would sing in churches. And they had a, they went to a little church, Lebanon Baptist. I remember the name. And they had about 25 people, about what we had at the time. And they were telling about how they loved their church and how their kids grew up in church. And they had one daughter that got out of the will of God, Brother Al. She got a divorce and got on drugs and had problems. And they were telling me about this precious lady and husband. And they were telling me how that she worked at Walmart as a cashier in Hoover. And how that this elderly lady came by the her line one day at Walmart. And this lady in her 80s, she looked at that young girl and took her by the hand. And she said, "Young lady, you don't look very happy." And she said, "I've had a hard few years." She said, "My life's just out of control." And that elderly lady, she said, "Young lady, could I pray for you?" And she took her hand that day, Brother Al, and prayed with that young lady there. And she called her mother and father later. She said, "Mama and Daddy," she said, "I'll be in church Sunday." And that's been 10 years, they told me. 10 years, Miss Rachel. And she got right with God because somebody stopped. And that one single soul was her daughter that day. There's a value this morning of one single soul. We get lost in the crowd. We get lost and everything going on. We had several yard sales here in this church, Lord willing. We'll try to have one next year. Spring, fall's no good. They won't come football time. We tried them both. Well, that spring, though, they'll come, won't they? They'll line up. They know about it. Every yard sale we ever had, Brother Al, we led somebody to the Lord. Every one of them. One of them we had left, there was a black man, he was 68 years old, named James. I'll never forget it. Right out there, his wife was a Christian. And I got talked to him and said, "James, you saved?" He said, "No, I've never been saved." His wife said, "I've been trying to get him saved for 40 years. She said, "He won't go to church or nothing." She said, I can't get to him." And I said, "James, you're getting old. You're going to go to hell. You better get saved." And I said, "Can I just show you how to get saved in the Bible? Just to show you?" He said, "Yeah, I'd like that. I'd like that." And Brother Ben, right out there, was out right in the front of the church, that 68-year-old man, James, I showed him how to be saved. And I said, "Now, James, wouldn't you like to get saved right now?" And he bowed his head and prayed and weeping in his eyes. And his wife was jumping up and down and said, "I've been praying for 40 years, for 40 years. Hey, listen, brother, when it's your husband, it's your friend, it's your daughter, brother, there's the value of that one single soul." That lady was so excited. About 30 minutes later, I led a 36-year-old girl from Jacksonville named Janice to the Lord. There's the value of one single soul. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. There's the value of one single soul. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 1, I love this. Matthew 18:1, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Man, doesn't that sound like a lot of Christians, Brother Chris? I got a message on that, by the way. I mean, they come up, hey, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? You know, they're trying to warm up to him. And of course, Jesus slaps them down pretty quick. Verse 2. "And Jesus called a little child, said to him, set him in the midst of them, said, Verily I say unto you, except you become converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greater in the kingdom of heaven." Verse 5. "Whosoever shall receive one," notice, receive how many? One. "Receive one such little child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall offend one," just one of these little ones, "which believe in me were better for him than a millstone hanging about his neck and dumped him to drown in the depth of the sea." Verse 10, "Take heed that you despise not," how many? One of these little ones. "For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven, for the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost." Verse 14, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little..." You know what Jesus said? "Hey, I'm concerned about that little child, that little one." Clay Festival, about a month ago, or whenever we had it, my wife led a little girl to the Lord. You say, "How many?" Just one. Like Miss Leah said, she said, "Hey, this was worth it all." That's what it was about. That one little child. Sometimes we just lose the value of that one soul. Say, "Well, what else?" Say, "Well, our little kid got saved." Thank God that Jesus said, "Hey, let that little one come in." I like what Dwight L. Moody said one time. He'd been to a revival, Brother Al, and he came home. His wife said, "Did anybody get saved?" He said, "Yeah, 2.5. 2.5. She said, 2.5. She said, "What do you mean, 2 adults and a half? He said, "No, I mean 2 kids and a dog. He said, "That adult's in a wasted half their lives, only half left." Hey, let's get them young when they can do something with God. There's the value of one single soul. I believe God is concerned about that one single soul, brother. A few months ago, y'all remember we were planning on going up to Walmart and holding up signs. Y'all remember that? And it'd been beautiful all week. Both been beautiful that Saturday. We were pumped up about it, going up to Walmart, hold up signs like we've done in the past. And we was getting ready, everybody planted. Well, that Saturday we got up and it was storming like crazy. It was cool. It was windy. And I got up and looked out the door, and I'll be honest with you, I was a little discouraged, Miss Rachel. I wanted to get out. And I didn't feel good. My stomach was upset. It was just a bad morning. And I thought to myself, boy, it's kind of blue today, big time. And the Lord kind of nudged me and said, "You need to go walk around the park to help you feel better." Whenever I walk, I feel better. I didn't feel good that day. My stomach was bothering me. And the Lord said, "Hey, get outside and go walk around the park in the rain. It'll help you, buddy. It'll cheer you up to get around. Just go around the park a little bit and walk around there." And I did. And I know the Lord was nudging me. And about the time I walked in the park and got out there, the Lord said, "Hey, I got somebody here that's looking for you." And I walked out of the park. I mean, it's raining, it's windy. Nobody's there. So I walk around the park in the rain with my umbrella. And I'm looking for that because I knew God had somebody there. And I walk around on the other side. I found one dummy in the rain fishing. And I talked to this guy before I knew he was saved. And the Lord said, "Not him, not him." And I kept going around the park. And I went once. And I thought, "Man, I'm getting tired." And the Lord said, "Keep walking. Keep walking. You just keep walking. He's coming. He's coming." And you say, "You're crazy." Listen, I know 100% when God deals with me. He just said, "Keep walking." I went around a couple times. And I said, "Lord, I'm getting kind of tired. I'm wet. I'm cold." He said, "Keep walking. You just keep walking. I'm not done with you yet." So I walk around again, Brother Al, and I come around the corner, and there sitting in the gazebo is a fellow over there. He's got his iPhone, got a big old cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And he's 19 years old. I went over there, and the Lord said, "There he is right there. That's the one." And I went over there, Miss Martha, and I said, "How are you doing?" I said, "What's your name?" He said, "Caleb." Caleb means a good report. And I said, "Hey, Caleb, what you doing?" You know, he told me, Brother Al, before I ever introduced myself, he said, "I'm down here looking for God."
Come on now.
It's exactly what he said. And I said, "Well, you came to the place, right place, because God's looking for you too, buddy." Yeah. Led him to the Lord. And there's no doubt in my mind God brought a storm that day. There's no doubt in my mind God nudged me that day. You say, "Preacher, you think God did all that?" I don't think He did. I know He did. There's the value of that one single soul. I want to say there's a value of one soul. We lose the value sometimes. Not only there's a value of one single soul, I tell you another thing we do. We lose the vision. The vision of one single soul. We get in the world and we get caught up in the world and the media and the news and the politics and the crowd and the traffic, and our vision gets cloudy and it gets foggy by the crowd, and we get blurred and we no longer can see that one single soul that's headed for heaven or hell. And we lose the vision. The Bible said in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And we lose that vision. We get lost. We get blinded by the crowds. One of the blessings of a small little church is you can keep that vision focused. You get in a larger church and everything gets blurry. You get behind, lost in everything. But brother, when you get in a little church, we can keep that vision clean and stay focused on what we need to do. Brother Tommy Tillman, he came here a few years ago one Sunday, and somebody praying about, you know, more people or something. And Brother Tommy said, "I'm praying y'all won't grow anymore." Y'all remember that gospel song out here? He said, because you know what? He said, I've been coming to this church for years and years and years and years. This church, one of the first churches ever supported. I think he said the first one. He said, this church right now is the best it's ever been. You don't want to keep growing. Sometimes you get so big, you know what happens? You lose the vision of that one single soul sometimes. Sometimes in our life, you know what happens? We aim too high. We aim too high. We aim too high and we get discouraged. We get defeated. We want to see a crowd. We want to see all this stuff. And brother, when we don't see it, you know what happens? We lose the vision of that one single precious soul that you and I could get out of hell. We can't save the world, brother. We can't save Springville. It's too big. But bless God, we can get that one soul. Sometimes we look around and we just say, hey, I can't do it, Lord. I can't get the crowd. I can't get the people. I can't save Springville. I can't save my boss. I can't save the job. It's just too big, Lord. And we just quit. And we lose sight. We lose the vision of that one single soul. Take your Bible, turn over to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, we can't win the world, but we can win that one soul. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we get lost in the crowd and we lose the vision of that one precious single soul that God has. Look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 says this. Mark 8, 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and there bring a blind man to him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hand upon him, he asked him if he saw. Oh, watch it. Verse 24, and he looked up and said, I see men. Notice what it said. I see M-E-N, plural. I see plural. I see men. M-E-N is trees walking. Look at the next verse. And after that, he put his hands upon his eyes again and made him look up. And he restored and he saw every M-A-N clearly. Every man. You know what happened? Sometimes when we look at men, M-E-N, we look, can't see the soul because of the trees. And he said, I see men, plural. I see all these men and they're walking and they look like trees to me. Too many times that what's happened to me and you. We don't see that soul. We don't see that precious soul. All we see is a bunch of people that look like a bunch of trees walking just like bark and flesh. But I'm going to tell you, friend, inside that tree is a soul. And Jesus said to him, he said, hey, you need to look up again. And the Bible said he looked up and he's restored. And he saw every man clearly. And brother, when you get down and you see every man, M-A-N, that single soul, that single man, you'll see them clearly. You've heard the old saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. That's where that came from, by the way. Sometimes we can't see the soul because of the trees and the crowd. We lose the vision of that one single soul throughout the Bible. You know, when I see Jesus Christ in John chapter 3, there was a man, a single man named Nicodemus. John 5, there was a man. Mark 5, there was a man. One man possessed the devils in the tomb. Mark 5, there's a certain woman with an issue of blood 12 years. There was a young damsel, Talitha Kumi. Luke 19, there was Zacchaeus. Mark 12, a poor widow woman. John chapter 4, it said there was a woman of Samaria. You must needs go through Samaria over and over. John 5, there was a man with infirmities. John 8, a poor woman taking an adult. Hey, all over the Bible, I see Jesus Christ dealing with one person. One single soul. And brother, we need to keep our vision on that one single soul. Because I'll tell you what happens. A lot of time we get in the crowd. We get in the crowd and we lose our vision. We need to focus on that one single soul. We get in the crowd and we need to get our eyes. When I leave in the morning, a lot of times, Miss Annie Mae, I pray and I say, Lord, send me that soul that's near his tail. And I believe God has done that before. I'm looking for that one single soul. Because I tell you what happens a lot of times. A lot of time we look at the crowd. We look at the crowd. We say, what's the use? We're not going to make a difference. But we can sit that one single soul. I heard that illustration one time about that man. He was walking on the beach. And there on the beach, there were millions, Brother Al, of these starfish. And they were coming up on the beach and drowning and dying. For some reason, fishing, they do it sometimes. These starfish were all coming on the beach. And there were millions of them up on the beach dying. They was coming out of the water. And there was 100 people or more watching those starfish dying on the beach. And there was one man that was going along. And he was walking along the beach. And he was grabbing those starfish and throwing them back in the water one at a time. And somebody left him and said, "Hey, hey, you can't save all those starfish. You're wasting your time." They said they're going to die. And he said, "Well, bless God, here's one that won't. Bless God, here's another that won't. Bless God, here's another that won't. Hey, we can't save the world. Bless God, we can save one here and there. Just one more soul walks down that aisle, it'll be worth it all." There's a vision of one single soul. Not only that, there's the victory. The victory of one single soul. Turn back to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, there's the victory of one single soul. One single soul can change your life, you know it. Luke chapter 15, they're over there. The Bible says this. Verse 7. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 which need more repentance." Verse 10. "Likewise I say unto you there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner." There's the victory of one single soul. One single soul is making history. They're rejoicing in heaven. One single new soul brings news and rejoicing. They're not rejoicing over Donald Trump, folks. They're not rejoicing over the Republicans or Democrats or the football game or politics or media. I want to tell you, the victory in heaven is one single soul that gets saved. That's what excites them. That's what ought to excite me and you. I've had Christians in this church, some that have left this church, they're more excited about Donald Trump than they are getting people saved. I see it all the time, brother. Listen, there's the victory of that one single soul. They're rejoicing in heaven. One single soul. One single soul can change your life. That one single soul getting somebody saved, they can ignite that soul when there's fire in your life. One single soul. One single soul can change the history of the world. I think of Mr. Kimball, the Sunday school teacher there in Massachusetts, had that little fat boy that was in his class that stuttered so bad, and all the kids made fun of him. He was an outcast. And Mr. Kimball was concerned about this little boy because he was so dark, he said, so dark in the spiritual things, and he was such an outcast, and none of the kids would have anything to do with him. And he went there where he worked that day. I told you the story. That little boy works as a shoe salesman. And Mr. Kimball walked up and down the road, that street, trying to get up enough courage to go in there and tell that little boy about Jesus Christ. And after a while, he finally got enough courage and went in there in the back room and found him. That little boy that nobody wanted to play with and nobody wanted anything to do with, that could stutter so bad. Just a homely little boy. And Mr. Kimball led him to the Lord. His name was Dwight L. Moody, the greatest evangelist that probably ever lived. Walked this planet. And there he was. There's that victory of one single soul. Who would ever known it? As far as I know, what I've read, that was the only soul that Mr. Kimball ever led to the Lord like that. But brother, there's a victory of one single soul. I was talking to a man at the park a couple of years ago. And I was telling him about the story of Brother Moody, how Mr. Kimball went down there and was just a humble man, scared. And I didn't have enough courage to witness to him, but kept walking up and down. Finally had enough courage to go in there and talk to that little old boy that nobody thought was nothing. And that man said, "Yeah, but have you heard the rest of the story?" I said, "No, is there more?" He said, "Years ago, Dwight L. Moody was preaching. And a man came up to him while Dwight L. Moody was preaching and said, 'Hey, Mr. Kimball led you the Lord.' He said, 'I'm his son.' And he was lost. And Dwight L. Moody led Mr. Kimball's son to the Lord." Mr. Kimball led him to the Lord. There was a victory, and there's a double victory because he led Mr. Kimball, son, to the Lord. There's the victory of one single soul. I'll tell you, brother, it'll change your life. I got saved July the 30th, 1975. Where'd my paper go? I got saved on Wednesday night, 1:7:30. 9:15 that same night, Miss Annie Mae, I led my first soul to the Lord. I was hooked, man. I was hooked, brother. I said, man, this is good stuff. I worked at the bank, Exchange Security Bank. Later became First Alabama and became Regions over in Valley Avenue. I worked there with a bunch of hippies and dopers. And we worked nights. That's the only time they let us work. We worked third shift. It was a hard job, man. And as a bunch of us, we'd smoke dope and work and play our guitars. I played with a bunch of band. We'd come in the weekends. We'd have to work all weekends. And we'd bring our instruments and our amplifiers and our PA and load them up in the computer room and play music in between the waiting for stuff. Within a couple of months, there's about six or seven of them, Brother Al, I led everybody that I worked with to the Lord. Every one of them got saved. I was down at that Christmas, I think Brother Ben was with me. A couple of years ago, we was out passing out tracts Christmas. And we went to Home Depot, and I was passing out a gospel tract. Gave a fellow, said, hey, let me give you a little gospel tract to read. He said, hey, aren't you Terry Watkins? I said, I am. He said, remember me, I'm Mike Julian. I led that boy the Lord 40 years ago, Brother Al. And right to this day, he is still serving God. He's one of the best guitarists I've ever played. He's made CDs. He's got a great website. And he writes these songs and sings them, plays them on the guitar for little kids. Here's the victory of one single soul. I mean, 40-something years ago, I led that guy the Lord. He's still serving God. Hey, brother, that'll keep you going a little while. I led a fellow of the Lord after I got saved, Don Jones. Sitting in my house one night, after I'd been saved and reading my Bible, sitting there, I remembered. And old Don, he was a doper with me. Him and I had done a lot of dope through the years. He was crazy as a loon. And old Don, I was sitting there reading my Bible that night, sitting in that chair. And Don, he didn't knock. He never knocked on the door. He just come in. He just opened the door and walked in the way he was. He just walks in. I'm sitting there, and he sees me reading the Bible. And he says this. He come over to me. He was kind of a simple-minded guy. And he said, why did Jesus have to die? And I took him through the Bible. Miss Rachel, what I knew, I didn't know a whole lot then. And showed him how Jesus Christ died for his sins. And I said, Don, would you like to get saved right now? You can get saved right now. And he jumped up and ran out the door. And he got in his car and left. And he come back in a few minutes later, about 5 minutes. Brother Al opened the door and he said, would you pray with me? Lady of the Lord! 35 years later, 2014, I hadn't heard from this guy. In all these years, I get a call on the telephone and said, hey, Terry, you remember Don Jones? You remember me? I said, sure, I remember you. He said, I just wanted to call you up and thank you for the man that introduced me to Jesus Christ. He came to this church several times, said right where Ben was. September 2015, he died, went home to be with the Lord. There's the victory of one single soul. There's the vision of one single soul. There's the value of one single soul. Let me give you one more thing. Let me show you something else. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. There's the victory. There's the victory of one single soul. You know what the soul winner's call? Look at first. Go to Acts chapter 2 and get 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's the victory of one single soul. Bible said about that one soul in heaven, there's rejoicing. You know what the soul winner's crown is? It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says this in verse 19. He said this, 1 Corinthians 2:19, here's the soul winner's crown. For what is our hope? Our joy. Our crown of rejoicing are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ as is coming for ye. Talk about that soul or our glory and our joy. I want to say there's a victory of that one soul. It's called the crown of rejoicing. Because of victory in one soul. Look at Acts chapter 2. You say, preacher, but it's just We're talking just one soul. We're not talking about leading the world. We're talking about just one more soul. Just one soul. Look at Acts 2:41. Acts 2:41 says this. Here they are preaching. Then they were gladly received His word, were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved. Look at Acts chapter 4. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Here they're having a meeting again. Acts 4:4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. Wow. Acts 2, they had 3,000 got saved. Acts chapter 4, 5,000 got saved. Brother, they're having a revival, and God is moving. And turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I'm talking about the victory of one single soul. In Acts chapter 9, God calls a Christian there named Ananias. And He tells Ananias, Acts chapter 9, verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said, arise, go in the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for how many? One. I want you to go, and I want you to find one called Saul. Ananias said, hey, Lord, let me go over there and preach with Peter and them. They just led 3,000. Let me go over there. They led 5,000. The Lord, hey, God, you want me to go down there for just one soul? Just one. God, let me go get those thousands. And God said, I got one over there I want you to go see. Just one. You know who that one was? That was Saul of Tarsus. That was the Apostle Paul. There's the victory of that one soul. You never know what it might be. It might be another Earl Ancrum. It might be another Charlie Andrews. It might be another Dwight L. Moody. It might be another Apostle Paul. That one soul wrote 13 books of the Bible. That one soul was given the dispensation of the grace of God. That one soul was apostles of the Gentiles. You say, how many? Just one. There's the victory of one single soul. There's the value of one single soul. There's a vision of one single soul. Let me just give you one more. There's the volume. The volume of one single soul. Say, what do you mean, preacher? Too many times we aim so high we never fly. We never look at that one. But the only way we can win them, my friend, is one by one. We say, well, hey, can't win five. Can't win ten. Can't win all. Hey, can't fill the church up. Can't, hey, I'm just going to throw my hands up. But there's the volume of that one single soul. Because you know what? One plus one equals two. You know what? One plus two equals three. You know what? One by one by one. God said over in Isaiah 27, He said, I'll gather them in that day one by one. The only way you and I can win them, brethren, is one by one. But you know what? That one by one adds up. I preached a message a while back on show me a penny. Show me a penny. Most of us, we see a penny on the ground. At least I don't normally. I won't even bend over to pick that thing up, Miss Rachel. Now if it's a quarter, I'll get it. It's a dollar, I'll fight for you. $10, I'll shoot you for it, amen? But that old penny, if I walk around, I'm thinking, really? I mean, what could you do with a penny? Show me a penny. When I gave the illustration, hey, suppose I come to you and I said, hey, I'll give you $1 million, or I'll give you a penny every day, and we'll double that penny every day. What would you take? 99% of everybody said, well, I'll take $1 million, just a penny. Say, so first day I'll give you one penny. Second day I'll give you two pennies. The third day I'll give you four pennies. I'll double it every day. And the third day I'll give you eight pennies. And here's the thing. If you just double that one penny every day, get this. At day 20, you'll have $5,282. Day 26, you'd have $335,000. Day 31, you'd have $10,737,418. $10 million, you say, just by doubling one by one. Think about this. If everybody in this church, we got about 15 normally, we're running about 15 or so. If those 15 people in this church would commit themselves and say, "Preacher, today I'm going to make a commitment, and by this next time next year, I'm going to have one more person in this church. Just one." I mean, everybody here ought to have a friend or a family or a foe. We ought to be able to get one more in 365 days. And if everybody in here, 15 got 15 next year, you know how many we'd have? 30. And if you know that next year that 30 did the same commitment and say, "Hey, I'd get one person in 365 days. You know how many we'd have in 2 years? 60 people in this church. I talked to Brother Bowles. He said if this church has never got over 50 people, he'd been it from day one, we'd have 60 people. If those 60 people would say, "Hey, I want to lead one to God, I want to get one more in 3 years, we'd have 120. 4 years, we'd have 240 people in this church. That'd be a pretty good crowd in here. 5 years, we'd have 980 people. Sarah would have to sit five in her lap. Would you mind sitting five in your lap? You say, "That's just everybody." I'm not talking about getting five. I'm not talking about bringing a sprint. I'm talking about one little person. That's all it takes, see? Because the volume of one, it multiplies. But see, a lot of times we just throw our hands up and we say, "Hey, I can't get five or ten. I can't get to church field, so why should I even worry about it?" But if everybody got one, everybody committed, everybody did their part, in 5 years, this church will make the Church of Highlands look like Podunk down there. That's all it'll take. Just a commitment of how many? One. One. There's the volume of one. Just one. I gave the illustration here a while back when I did that show, that penny. And there was that missionary in India. And that little boy there, Brother Al, he had a penny. And that penny to that little boy in India, the five-year-old little boy, and he had a shiny little penny. And that penny he had was like a $1,000 bill to me and you. He'd get it out every once in a while, Miss Rachel, and he'd polish it up and he'd sit it out and he'd look at that penny. He was proud of that penny. And a missionary came by, that missionary one day, and that little boy, 5, 6 years old, heart was touched, and he went and gave that missionary that one little penny. Just one! Not a $5, not a dollar, not a quarter. One little penny! And that missionary went and bought, all he could get with it was one simple, single gospel tract. This is true. And they took that one single track, Brother Al, just one track. It was just one track that came with one penny. And one fellow read it, and he got saved. He passed it to the next guy. He read it, and he got saved. They passed it to the next person, and the next person. And before they got through and that track was wore out, 1,500 people got saved in that tribe. You see how many tracks? Just one. There's the volume of one, see. One in the hands of God is amazing. There's the value of one. There's the victory in one. It'll change your life. There's the vision of one. We lose sight a lot of times. And there's that volume of one. It'll add up. Years ago, we were in Pensacola. I told y'all about this. And we were there at the blowout. We was at a, back when we had a little money, we had a condo there on the beach. We'd do that. They have a blowout, their revival. And my kids were in school. They would come stay on the condo on the beach. And it was a nice condo. We'd sit out there. They'd go run around the beach. I'd sit out there and watch the dolphins and read and stuff. And Brother Odell and Miss Karen Ash, they were with us. They were staying with us this time. And they were there. We was sitting out on the deck looking around. And that was when they had the oil spill. And they had a big black Big old black spot, probably half the size of this room. It was huge. And it looked like a big old oil spot there on the beach, and it was just floating along the beach. And everybody was standing back looking at it at the beach. And it was huge, just solid black. And there's probably 50 people looking and watching that oil spill, and it was going along the beach. And Miss Karen asked, she said, "I'm going to go down there and check that thing out." And her and Sarah went down there to check out that big old oil spot on the beach. And they got down there, and you know what it was? It was millions of little bitty minnows in a big old thing. And a lot of those minnows were jumping on the beach and flopping and dying. Little bitty things. I mean, there were thousands of them on the beach just flopping. And everybody there was just standing watching. But you know what that precious little girl right there did, that beautiful little angel? You know what she did? She was the only one out there doing it, Miss Rachel. She was walking along that beach and throwing those little minnows back in the water, trying to save them. Too many God's people just standing around watching people go to hell. Don't bother them. They just watch them going to hell, flopping and dying. You know what we need to do? We need to find just one more soul. Just one more soul walk down that aisle. It'll be worth it all. That's what we sing. Hope we mean it.